Very good morning, listeners, as we begin our footy weekend in the best possible way, each Saturday from 9 a.m. right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. It's day 8,716 since the Mighty Blues last held the Premiership Cup aloft. However, your official WA Network supporter group of the WA Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, remain to bring you the best footy panel on radio today. Your hosts are myself, John Allen, joined today by Chris Brownie, Craig, the Cerebral Assassin, Beck. Welcome back, Becky.
Hello.
And Yuri Bilsich. On the program today, we look at all AFL news, Blues news, and review the remaining AFL games, including tips. Special guest live interviews today, it's the uncompromising Adrian Hickmont. Looking forward to that one. Across the live to the hyphen, as always, David Rees-Jones for the shirt front. Who's putting their hand up for the senior side from the Blues Magoos and the VFL? Upcoming WA Blues supporter events, any Carlton Football Club news, the weekly whack at the end of the show, and anything else that we can squeeze into the hour. Chris, as always, we've got to thank a few people. The show wouldn't exist without a few supporters and sponsors, would it, mate?
That we do. We have to thank the WA Blues major sponsor, Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Tech Tiger, Master Pitcher Framers, and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, Empire, at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane.
Best venue to watch a footy in
that
Perth.
Is.
And, Craig, what have we got in AFL news today, mate? Welcome back to the show, by the way, Becky.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Not a great deal of AFL news this week that I could find. There's a few things going on, and I think one that we're all pretty happy about. The AFL has officially told clubs on Tuesday that it's going to remove the AFLX scheduling from its pre-season fixture. Apparently, after trialling the abridged game in the format in the past two seasons, the decision was made to remove it for 2020 to allow greater focus on the fourth season of the AFLW, which, flowing into this, for the second time in AFL history and back-to-back seasons, total club membership across all clubs have exceeded 1 million members. Maybe that's because of the axing of the AFLX, possibly.
And maybe the axing of all the coaches.
AFL Chief Gillon McLaughlin said in a statement, "Footy is about connection and a sense of belonging. The commitment members make to their clubs is the key reason why our game continues to grow." So that's good news, and probably in lesser good news for the bad boys of the comp, seven players will have to fork out a total of $13,500 worth of fines from last weekend's action. No suspensions handed down, but the match review panel said, all separate incidences, isolated games and things like that, one of which was our very own Ed Curnow, which I'll touch on later. And a couple of other misdemeanours, I guess you could say, around the place. Gold Coast Suns player Braden Crossley will continue to train despite testing positive to a banned substance. Apparently, the 21-year-old tested positive after the NEAFL match in late May, believed to be a cocaine metabolite, whatever that is, I wouldn't know. And finally, Eddie McGuire, that is, says it's gone nuts. The Blues, the Pies president, contacting the league over betting rumours that a group of Collingwood players have a betting syndicate going on, betting on their own matches. So the old social media has been going nuts over that one during
nuts,
the week.
That went nuts, didn't it? That went past 24 hours.
Taking a bit of focus off the Gold Coast player there, luckily for him, because... Lucas brings to light the issue of recreational drugs in at the highest level of sport and... you know, the example that these guys do have to lead, and a lot of young people out there looking up to them, and a lot of parents and families maybe wanting to get their kids into junior sport. We've got to get that stuff out of our game, no?
Absolutely, yes.
All righty. So moving right along, though, great stuff there, Craig. Good start to the show. Yuri.
Yes.
Let's have a look at the rest of the games, and we'll get our tips in.
Sure. Well, first game to kick off this Saturday is between Melbourne and Collingwood at the MCG. For the Pies, looking to cement their spot in the top eight, and for Melbourne, nothing but pride for the remaining three games. However, Pies by 6 goals.
This way.
Definitely Pies for me too,
yeah,
sorry.
Pies for me.
Pies. And doesn't Yuri sound like a young Richie Beno? Can we
just
throw that
out? Can you say 2 for 22?
2 for 22.
Oh. Try not to say it like Richie. Just say it like Yuri.
No, I won't.
It's a beautiful day here at the MCG. Sorry about that, everybody.
No, it's good.
Power Swans.
Yes, Power Swans at the Adelaide Oval. Port Adelaide right back in finals contention now. And another win can almost about put themselves in the eight, actually in eighth spot, if Adelaide lose tomorrow to West Coast. And Sydney just the same as Melbourne. Matter of pride as well. Power by 3 goals for mine.
Yeah, I think Power are going to get up on this one.
If they turn up, Power.
Yeah, Power by 43.
Okay, the Twilight game, the Q clash between Brisbane and Gold Coast at the Gabba later on today. Brisbane by about 9 goals for mine.
Lions for me.
Lions.
It could be a margin of a triple figure score here, I reckon. The Lions.
It could get nasty.
Lions at the Gabba against the Suns. Third versus eight. It's got to be the Lions.
Yes. Okay, the first of the Saturday night games, a big one actually, Essendon and the Western Bulldogs at Marvel Stadium tonight. The Bombers looking to bounce back from their 59-point loss to Port Adelaide, and the Dogs just need to keep winning to have a chance of playing finals for the first time since 2016 when they broke their 62-year maiden premiership drought. I think this will be very close all the way to final seconds of the game. Bombers by 2 goals for mine.
Yes, I agree with you, mate. I think this is going to be a great game, and I think the Bombers will get up, though.
I'm going upset, Doggies.
No, I don't think it's an upset at all, and I'm going the Doggies. They're playing some good footy. Essendon got a few injury worries.
Yeah, I reckon it's a 50-50 game for mine, looking at it. It was very hard to pick, but Essendon, when they turn up, they're really on. And saying the Dogs as well, too, so that should be really close right to the final seconds. And the other Saturday night game between Geelong and North Melbourne at GMHBA Stadium, Geelong, well, they were pretty terrible after the first quarter against Fremantle, and North Melbourne were good last week against Hawthorn, bouncing back from 26 down early in the second quarter. I think Cats by about 4 goals for mine.
Yep, I think Cats will be looking to bounce back after last week.
Pussycats.
At the Cattery, you've got to go the Pussies.
First game tomorrow between St Kilda and Fremantle at Marvel Stadium. The Saints will be looking to make it 3 or 4 under caretaker coach Brett Ratton, and Fremantle will be looking to somewhat keep the faint, slim finals hopes alive after their 34-point win over Geelong. I think Saints by about a couple of goals.
I'm going to go the Saints purely for Rats and also because I don't like the Dockers.
I'll echo what Craig just said, Saints.
Throw a dart at this one. Two teams impossible to pick. You'd probably go the Saints, but yeah, Saints. Yeah, Saints. Richie, next.
Yes. Richmond and Carlton at the MCG. Definitely expect over 80,000 tomorrow afternoon. It's a good litmus test again for Carlton against one of the top sides in the competition and no doubt one of the premiership favourites. It'll be really close all the way to the last quarter. Carlton will give Richmond a run for their money. I think Tigers by about 4 to 5 goals for mine.
Really? Yeah, and I'm with you. I think premiership favourites as well. Carlton for me.
Yep, I'm with you, Carlton. Premiership
favourites, Carlton.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Premiership favourites, Carlton.
Blues by one.
Okay, in the final game of this round 21 between West Coast and Adelaide at Optus Stadium, Crows, they win, they can keep 8th spot. They lose and Port Adelaide wins by a good margin today against Sydney. They'll be out of the 8th, and I see West Coast winning by about 5 to 6 goals.
Yeah, I think Eagles will do this comfortably.
Yeah, agree, Eagles.
It's going to be a munting Eagles over the Crows, that one there. So thanks very much for that, Yuri.
Thank
and
you,
John. We'll cross over for the pitch report now to Chris Brownie. Blues injury updates, any ins and outs. Let's go through those quickly.
Okay, yep, quickly. The ins this week is Big Cruisers back with Liam Jones, Mitch McGovern and Dale Thomas. Out all omitted is Goddard, Kennedy, Phillips and Schumacher. Emergencies tomorrow are Garlett, Goddard, Phillips and Kennedy. Our injuries, we've got Kim LeBoy, hamstring, 3 weeks, and the rest of these are all out for the season. Is Charlie Kerno with a knee, Patrick Kerr, shoulder, Sam Doherty, knee, Caleb Marchbank, neck and Tom Williamson, back. I think Kennedy was a bit stiff on, I think, have been omitted. But anyway, they're good ins for us.
I think Lang's very lucky not to be omitted by the numbers. They're obviously liking his pressure acts, etc. I think Kennedy's very stiff. The delivery was pretty ordinary. Mm-hmm. But look, you know, he's his own man, Teague. He's coaching it the way he wants.
Yep.
And that's all great, you know. Let's see what Mitch does coming back into the side, you know. He needs to perform.
I was hoping Schumacher would play again this week. I know he was tough to get dropped because Liam Jones is back in for tomorrow, but it would be nice to see him play another game, you know, get some real experience, especially the Richmond Poles.
From what I observed, he doesn't look anywhere near ready yet. Size-wise, a couple of tackles he got caught in.
They definitely tried to take the game on.
It was the awareness, the pace of the game. caught up to him. Yeah. He just stood there like a stunned mullet. He wouldn't have got away with that in the VFL. No. So a bit of nerves as well, in all fairness, I think. But
he tried.
He's got a taste of it now. Well, now he knows what he's going to go away and do. So good luck, Tangus. Yeah. We think it's going to be a beauty. So just needs a bit more time. Alrighty. Blues news, milestones, tribunal updates. How are we looking there, Becky?
Yeah, got a little bit of news here. So a quintet of Carlton's brightest young talents have been named in the initial squad of the AFL's 22 under 22. So with five nominations means the Blues have the equal most amount of players featuring the 40-man squad. The five which have received the nod are Zach Fisher, Harry Mackay, Sam Petrescu-Seaton, Sam Walsh and Jacob Wiedering. Wiedering is looking to become Carlton's third player with two selections in the 22 under 22, having been selected back in 2016. Also with Paddy Cripps in 2015-16 and Charlie Curnow 2017 and 18. In some off-field news, Carlton's review of its list management team is underway. The Blues are parting ways with recruiting officer Dale Bleach a fortnight ago. Carlton insists Bleach's role won't be replaced in the lead-up to this year's trade period, but more movement is expected ahead of 2020. And just watch this space. Current Fremantle recruiter and former Carlton father-son recruit David Walls, the son of Carlton legend Robert Walls, has been linked to a role at the Blues next season despite being contracted at the Dockers, having a bit to do with Brad Lloyd back at Freo. So, and some sadder news on off-field. Long-serving and much-loved former property steward Ken Kleiman, a life member of both the Carlton Footy Club and Spirit of Carlton, has passed away with a short illness at the age of 93. So born on Christmas Day 1925, he often quipped that there are only ever two half-decent blokes born on that day, and I was one of them. So the lifelong supporter joined the club in 1965 at the same time Ron Barassi was signed on as captain coach, and as a mark of respect, the Carlton players will wear black armbands into the match this Sunday with Richmond at the MCG. And finally, in a little bit of Blues tribunal, as I touched on earlier, Carlton midfielder Ed Curnow has been charged with careless contact with an umpire by the match review officer following Sunday's game against West Coast. The incident occurred during the third quarter when Curnow made contact with umpire Cameron Dore. And the Blue will be handed a $1,500 fine, which I haven't had a look at the latest, but it could be reduced to $1,000 if he took an early plea, but I didn't see...
He took the early plea. I didn't see... was there any footage of the incident? I've been busy all week babysitting the All Blacks.
No, it just popped up.
Yeah.
Was that, John, you want?
Thanks for the invite, too, for that, by the way. But he's all good to play on Sunday.
All right. So, what we'll do, Yuri?
Yes.
Straight into this one, mate.
Sure.
We've only got a few minutes.
Okay.
We'll rattle this one off. The Blues versus Eagles last week.
Sure will. Our three-game winning streak came to an end at Marvel Stadium on Sunday at the hands of reigning premiers, no less, with a 24-point defeat. Nick Newman drifted forward early in the match to kick the first. West Coast led the inside 50s early, but that offensive pressure evened right up as Carlton showed it was not to be intimidated by the reigning premiers. It took the experience of Mark Murphy to steady the Blues. A carbon copy goal from Newman saw the Blues hit the front, then Walshy turned Jared Cameron into a pretzel on 50 and showed his class with an outstanding solo goal. In the second term, we locked the ball in our offensive 50 early and had opportunities in front of goal, but wayward kicking saw a stalemate between us and them until 8 minutes into the quarter. Inaccuracy proved costly. The reigning premier sparked into life, kicking three unanswered goals in quick succession to bolt away from the Blues. We replied with a goal through Michael Gibbons, but it was West Coast by 20 at the main break. In the third, the Eagles continued their ascendancy with two early goals. Again, wastefulness going forward proved costly. Gibbo slotted two goals from close range midway through the turn to give a spark. While we continued to win the clearances, they controlled the play. Costly turnovers from us, helping the visitors along. For all our efforts, we couldn't turn the tide in our favour, trailing by 37 points heading into the final term. We came out firing in the last, throwing everything into offence in attempting to narrow the margin. Wayward kicking again proved costly, with our first two score launches amounting to behinds. As was the theme of the day, West Coast made the most of its opportunities when the ball ventured into its forward 50. A late goal from Harry Mackay was a reward for a promising performance, while Newman's personal best fourth goal concluded a fighting 24-point defeat. The moment of the match, The first quarter, Sam Walsh giving Kane Corns a further football education in the term when he gathered the loose ball on 50, spun around Jared Cameron, turning him into a pretzel, then launching accurately from 50, which plus up by 8 points with 5 left in the opening term.
Get that up, you Kane.
And the three things we learnt from the match. Number one, Nick Newman has really hit his strides and is playing by far his best football as a Blue and no doubt would be in their top five for the John Nicholls medal. Two, Big H is rising to the challenge with Charlie and Mitch sidelined. He took a career-best 11 marks on Sunday with a late goal, the punctuation mark. And three, Walsh is unstoppable. He's a major headache for all coaches and amassed yet another 31 disposals, leading the Blues in disposals, proving yet again that if your surname is Corns and your first name begins with a K, you're more than likely a noob by proxy. Goals, a career high
four. Who writes this stuff? Oh.
Goals.
This is straight off the AFL website.
Goals, a career high four for Nick Newman, three to Michael Gibbons, and singles to Mackay, Murphy and Walsh. And our best, Sam Walsh, of course, 31 touches. Nick Newman, 24 disposals and 4 goals. Jacob Wiedering, Harry Mackay, Cade Simpson, Michael Gibbons and Mark Murphy. No injuries to come out of the game and no reports whatsoever to come out of last week's game against West Coast. And that's a review of round 20's match.
Thanks, little Richie. Great job there, mate. And it is time for a commercial break. We'll get back to the Northern Blues review, hopefully after our interview, which will be straight after the break, with the tough, uncompromising, the one and only, we loved him, Adrian Hickmont. Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blue schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor. Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. TechTiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. TechTiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor. And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Cold Dark Blues.
Welcome back to the program, listeners, and of course you are listening to your best start to the footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted today by myself, John Allen, and with Craig, Chris and Yuri on the panel. Time now to cross live to the man who grew up on a diet of footy and growing up in Naradwa near Horsham in Western Victoria. It was a diet that he loved. He began his footy in the big time at Geelong, then as one of the few performers after the Cats' disastrous 95 GF, he made his way to the then all-conquering Blues in 96 to further enhance his reputation as a tough, uncompromising utility and he, along the way, became a much admired figure at the club and amongst the supporters. Adrian Hickmott, a very good morning to you, and welcome for the first time to Breakfast with the Blues.
G'day, guys. G'day, John. How you going?
Very, very well, mate. Firstly, Bluey, and again, thanks very much for your time today. And just to get the ball rolling, can you tell us a little bit about life growing up in Narradra and Horsham? Because a little birdie told me that you're pretty handy on the shears.
Yeah, good on you. Yeah, no, I grew up on the farm. Just outside Horsham. And, my old man was Dad Morris was a shearer, and he educated me on how to shear before I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to play up in Geelong.
Nice work.
Adrian, good morning, mate. It's Craig here. Just want to take you back to the 95 grand final. You're playing for Geelong, go down to Carlton, and arguably one of Geelong's most influential. But surprisingly, you find yourself on the trade table after that year. Your efforts obviously didn't go unnoticed with the Blues picking up swiftly for their season the following one. But how strange was it, mate, being traded to a club that you just played in the grand final? And what were your thoughts and emotions that time rocking up to Carlton on the first day after that infamous halftime brawl?
I suppose when I was told that I was being traded, I thought, I was sort of open-minded and, obviously a bit disappointed at the same time. And then when I went to the Blues, it was a strange feeling. Carlton had just beat Geelong in the 95 grand final, and I was, I remember the first time I turned up to the training session thinking, I wonder how this is going to go. but it was, the guys were great. I ended up fitting in really well, and ended up my career there. But it was definitely a strange feeling walking to that first training session.
Yeah.
Hello, Adrian. It's Yuri. How are you going?
Yeah, Yuri, well, thank you.
Your second and third games for Geelong were both losing finals and against West Coast in the semi-final and the grand final, both in 1982. The next grand final for you was the thumping in 94, again by West Coast, and in 95 against us Mighty Blues. Then you shifted to Carlton at the end of 1995, which back in 1999, the grand final loss to the Kangaroos would be your last grand final appearance. The footy gods were not kind to you in finals. Is that something you lamented at the end of your playing career?
Yeah, thanks for those memories.
Give him a bit of a thump in there, Yuri, why don't you? We call Yuri Little Richie because of his radio voice. But
it was obviously great to play in the grand finals, and they're hard to get into. So looking back, I was more privileged and honoured to play in grand finals. We lost them, and it was disappointing, very disappointing losing them. But, looking back on the career, I was, I'm pretty proud of what we were able to do at Geelong and Carlton at the same time. So it was a sort of mixed emotions, but definitely a great experience to be involved in the finals series and with any team, and especially playing in a grand final.
Good morning, Adrian. It's Chris here. How are you doing?
Well done. Well, Chris, thank you.
Yeah, that's good. Mate, post-retirement, you immediately pursued a coaching path, which began in some tough Victorian leagues, like the Goulburn Valley, the Murray, the VFL with Essendon before you made your way over to the Eagles over here in the West via a brief Colts coaching stint at Swan Districts.
In front of Black Duck supporters, mate, say it right, please.
Go the Blues. It's your sixth year now as the main coach's right-hand man. Your resume is very impressive. Do you harbour any senior coaching aspirations? And have you had any calls from Juddy yet?
No calls. As a coaching group, we work together with Simo, and it's been fantastic and great experience. I enjoyed my coaching stint in the country. It taught me good lessons in the way of communication skills and to connect with players and then working my way up through the system. It's just been really, in a way, fascinating to see the change, see young kids. Like, young kids don't get any older, really, in April. They're 19 to 33, 34 years of age. I start getting older myself.
So don't we all,
the ability to, yeah, that's right, the ability to adapt to you know, every year, I find a great challenge and you know, really good fun. So I enjoy what I'm doing. Where it takes me, I'm not sure. So I'll just let the, as you said before, I think the footy gods just see what happens there.
John, again, mate, you played your best footy, arguably, from 2000 to 2003, before injuries sort of crueled and ended your career a bit there, and you're also awarded best clubman in 2000 and 2002 with the Blues. Did the disappointment of not quite reaching the precipice in those finals become offset by the peer recognition, your status amongst the faithful at the Blues? Because we really did embrace you as who you were as a footballer and a person. So did that mean as much, if not more, to you than what any potential success in grand finals may have been?
Yeah, I feel back in that time, that you know, any connection with any football side, yeah, they're great moments. You know, one thing I probably miss within that playing group is the connections with the playing group and your work in pre-seasons, those 30, 40 degree hot days, and then you'll be training in winter in, I don't know what degrees it is. I said it's snowing last night in the football. So building those relationships is great, and winning awards is really good, and being recognised by your peers is another great step. But I think the connection, everlasting connection, I'll run into some players, ex-players these days, and say g'day straight away, like we haven't even, you know, not spoken. So the connection between the group, and that's ongoing as you live.
And that's connections, Adrian. Does that come very natural to you? I mean, obviously, I get to watch you guys train a fair bit at work. I mean, you seem to have a natural ability to have those connections with the players. The players, over, you're bouncing around all over the place, and really, really involved with the drills with the guys as well. So is that building that connection, that relationship, is that something that really comes natural to you?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm glad to say I was bouncing around too, by the way.
Not bad for an old fella.
Yeah, that's right. I still got it, you beauty.
Just trying to suck you into saying something that'll get you fined, mate. It's not happening to you. You're all over it.
No, that's right. No, it's, look, I enjoy training. I enjoy people. We enjoy, as coaching group, you know, getting players to be the best they can. So I suppose that comes... part of the job is connecting with the players, and you know, it's more so as I start to mature and get more experience, I'll put it that way, and the young kids come up and through you must work hard, not hard, but you must open up to players yourself and share your thoughts and feelings so that can you can build a closer connection with them.
Yeah, well said, mate. Hey, look, before we go, one more question, young Will. He must have been painfully close last year. I know he was in the conversation to being picked up as a father-son with the Blues. How's he travelling? Does he still remain committed to being a professional footballer? Has he had to go away and work on anything in particular to make that next step, if that remains his aspiration? How's young Will going there, mate?
Yeah, no, he's going well, thank you. He was close, and his brother Liam, were both still got aspirations to play footy, which is great. You know, I really enjoyed it. They've started university now. They're doing a bit of work. They're enjoying the rigours of the life at the moment and pushing their way through that. But, Will's still got aspirations definitely to play AFL footy, and whether it happens this year or 3 years' time. I think AFL gives any young kid, you know, probably up to, I'm not sure what age, 24, 25, 26, opportunities to play AFL footy now. So DeLuca, I think, went halfway through the mid-season draft. So there's some real good opportunities. So they're always open-minded and really keen to pursue their dreams.
Adrian, it's Craig again. Just quickly, just want to digress. I had an interesting conversation a long time ago with Danny Green, and he was talking about his daughter swimming and want to be sort of professional. And I asked him the question, as a father and being a professional sportsman, do you find it's hard to sort of, and obviously you're on the coaching ranks and your experience, but with your boys, where do you draw the line with sort of trying to encourage and coach? Do you leave that up to their club coaches, or, you know, obviously they come to you for advice, but do you sort of feel like you sort of, you know, there's a boundary that you can't cross, or is it just open slather at the sort of kitchen table?
Definitely not open slather. I love being a dad. You know, the kids are getting old, like 20 years of age, and Will's 18 and Molly's 15. So I still love being a dad. So I try to separate the football, the advice, when I get home. And definitely if the kids ask a question, I'll be able to help them with it. But I'm more, you know, ask your coach, go to your coach and ask questions, because that's, you know, I'm not going to be able to change anything. But if the coach has got a good understanding of what you're thinking, they can help you through whatever you're going through. So, yeah, love being a dad first, and then if they ask questions, that's great.
Yeah.
Another one, not on the run sheet, just before we go. We're ahead of schedule here, so I'm enjoying this, and it's a good conversation.
Is that right, John?
Yeah. So, mate, just I'm curious. When the draft period was up and Will's name was in the conversation, was there much conversation amongst the family about what would happen if he was traded to the East? Would the family relocate? You just seem so well settled here with the boys' education and your life and everything over here. You're quite well ingrained. How did that conversation, if it happened, go?
Yeah, really well. Yeah, my wife Emma are keen to wherever the boys go, if they get an opportunity anywhere, whether it's work or whether it's safe or footy. No, we want them to pursue what they, you know, their dreams really. So, really open. The guys, whoever, if it was anyone, they would have packed up and gone, and we would have given them our blessing and kept in touch by, I think it's Facebook or what? where you videotape each other. So. Yeah, there's lots of ways to keep in touch now. It's like those boys never left home. So, yeah, always really keen for them to move on. And, you know, one less in the house is always good too.
And you're happy here in the West?
I love the West. Yeah, it's a beautiful place. The weather's beautiful. We like the ocean as well. So it was settled here nicely.
Well, mate, we love having you here, to be honest. And we really do appreciate your time. We've got to wrap it up there. Mate, thanks again for your time. Also, on behalf of the WA Blues supporters, for all the wonderful memories you gave us when you came across to the Blues, we thank you for that. And, mate, if I still got a job after this, I'll see you Monday.
Oh, beautiful. Good on you, John. Good on you, guys.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, good on you,
boys.
Thanks.
Bluey Hickmott, great interview. He's an absolute ripping bloke. He really is. I'm really privileged to sort of be around him with my job during the week, and it was great to have him on the show. Anyone got any particular memories of...
What is your job like, you know,
just
going to
have to move right along.
Adam Sandler, the water boy? Is
to
that
the, Cutting the oranges, mate.
I do have one great memory, and it was touched on the question that was asked. Bluey played in the 95 grand final with Geelong. He was clearly their best player.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
The next year we pick him up. It was just amazing. I can't believe Geelong let him go, to our advantage, of course.
And I hate to start rumours, because that's how rumours start, but we might have Ange Christo on next week, so we might be able to stitch him up, because it was Ange that Bluey towed up in that grand final, of course. Yep. And, of course, they become great friends afterwards when Bluey moved across. So, but any excuse for us to stitch someone up. We don't care who it is. No one's safe. No. So we look forward to that one if it happens.
What was the reason why Hickmott was traded? Why Geelong let him go to Carlton in the first place?
Because back then, clubs, they probably weren't great with the trading of the draft picks. They were learning as they go with the draft picks and everything else. And I think they thought they could get an advantage by trading him then, get greater draft picks and different other advantages. It sort of fell on
and,
their face
and
a little bit.
Kane Corns is on the Geelong selection panel.
We hope you're listening, Kane, and we really, really hope you're doing well, as always. Look, we got time to do the Northern Blues review. Make it a quick one, please, Chris.
I'll go as quick as I can, all right? After kicking the opening goal of the game, the Blues were outrun by the Pies at Marvel Stadium last Sunday, going down by 48 points. Northern had plenty of the ball in the first term, but couldn't impact on the scoreboard. The first score came at the 12-minute mark with a true set shot from Jess Palmer. Alex Fasolo was integral in creating scoring opportunities in the attacking 50, presenting himself as a constant option and finishing off with strong marking. The start of the second term was slow for the Blues, with a lot of time spent in the defensive 50. Two late goals to Jesse Palmer, assisted by Matthew Owies, put the Blues within striking distance. Turnovers once again proved costly for Northern at the beginning of the third term, as Collingwood pounced with two quick goals. Owies' presence in the forward 50 created opportunities for the Blues, but Collingwood's space and speed gave them the territory and made them more dangerous of the two sides. A quick surge from Dow and Owies looked promising, but a missed chance ultimately left the Blues goalless for the quarter. Palmer opened the final term, kicking the Blues' fourth goal, all of which had come from his own boot. A free quick kick was awarded to Ben Silvani after a huge tackle saw Northern get their fifth goal for the match. And after making a move to the defensive half, Liam Stocker showed some positive signs in attacking on the contest. However, while the Blues managed to keep their forward territory in the last quarter, they couldn't impact the scoreboard and ultimately ended the game 48 points in arrears. Paddy Dowell and Alex Fasolo battled manfully, but it was ultimately a disappointing loss for Northern after the week before's resounding win. Goals, Palmer 4 and Silvani 1. Best, Fisher, Anderson, Stocker, Down, Favola. Fasolo.
Who is guilty?
Yeah, Feb played very well in the twos last week. Who's putting their hand up? Well, it's Stocker, Down, Fasolo. And Northern Blues play Richmond tomorrow as a curtain raiser before the big Blues and Tigers game at the MCG. I'll take a break.
We've got about a minute, and just a couple of players I want to mention there. And this is great to put pressure on our side today to perform. We're looking for a small forward. Now, I've got a little bit of mail, inside mail. Matt Owies, he's kicking goals. He's a small forward type role. He could be one that gets a crack before the end of the year. And guys like Cottrell and especially Liam Stocker. Got to mention Liam Stocker putting pressure on.
Yes.
So look out, guys. You've got to play well against Tiggs today and perform and give what Teague's asking for, which is that four-quarter effort. Otherwise, Stocker, he's the sort of guy that gives that and he'll be straight back in. Cottrell, Owies, maybe they'll get a go. I'd like to see Owies get a crack. And TDK as well. His stats went big last week, but he's going okay. It'd be good to give him a taste of it for in readiness for next year. I think we've got to go to an ad break. And when we come back, of course, as we do every week at this time, it's time for the shirt front. And we'll be right back with the one and only, the hyphen, David Rees-Jones. Go Blues.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. Tech Tiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
And let's hope we're listening to that da-da-da-da-da tomorrow when we beat the Tigs. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by Your WA Blues and presented today by myself, John, Chris, Craig and Yuri at this time of the program. We delve into the Blues' performance last week, review this week's game, lower our lead shoulder and barrel straight into the most anticipated breakfast radio segment in Perth, the Shirt Front. A very warm welcome, as always, goes to our great friend of the WA Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, and a man who continues to bleed blue and amber whilst willing on the team and supporting breakfast with the Blues. Good morning to you, David Rees-Jones. And the rainbow lorikeets must have been chirping around the Heatley stand with renewed vigour the other week when we had a third win in a row, but then a little bit quieter this week after the Eagles game. But still, they didn't lower their colours, did they?
No, look, they were pretty good, and great to be back, actually. I missed a week, so, yeah, I was down in Tasmania at a little country club called Bridge North Football Club. And it's the only club I've ever known that's actually got an open fire in their club room. So it's cold down there.
Mate, reciprocated. We miss you on the show as well.
It's lucky I'm here, but because we had our Spirit of Carlton 40th anniversary of the 79 Premiership yesterday, and it was a great turnout. Nearly 1,000 Carlton supporters there at our function at Marvel Stadium, and... It was a fantastic day, and Jezza was there, and he was signing autographs and getting his picture taken and everything, but there was only one person who got a louder roar than Alex Jezelenko did for the day. Any guesses?
Harmsy. David Teague.
Oh, David Teague, you've hit the nail on the head.
I was going to say David Rees-Jones, but anyway.
I did actually see that. But
it's in full motion over here. It is flying.
On the Teague train. I did actually see that. It was quite extraordinary, but I still thought Harmsy would have got a louder one than that at the 79 reunion, wouldn't he?
No, Harmsy wasn't there, unfortunately. He couldn't make it, so, yeah.
All righty. No,
all good. Great day.
Yeah, so, mate, sorry, Chris, no, you've got something else here? No, go for it, mate.
Was exactly what David just brought up.
Oh, okay.
Who got the biggest standing ovation. So right. It was already mentioned, so okay. I don't need to repeat
No worries, I'll pipe down then, and we'll get straight into Craig Beck. You got something there for the Hive?
Dave, I just watching last week's game, I thought Phillips stood up really well in the ruck against Hickey, obviously being omitted this week. And with Big H also working well around the ground. Also, the mids are firing really well, and guys like Newman have shown their versatility at both ends of the ground. But to me, it feels like we've got a really good spread and depth across the whole group. I'm just interested in your general thoughts, or one around Phillips, I guess, and also just with the end of season approaching, do you think there's any sort of deficiencies or any particular type or size or style of player that Carlton should target to bolster the stocks for next year?
Oh, look, no doubt they're going to target the midfielders. Midfield's always a place you can improve on. And while we've got Cripper, probably one of the best midfielders in the competition, or he's one of the best midfielders in the competition, if not the best, the other guys are growing around him. Sam Walsh has been fantastic. I've never seen a first year like him, so he's just magnificent, and he's just going to get better and better as the years go on. But you need probably... 6 to 8, nearly A grade midfielders to, and you look at the Eagles over there, and that's they have got that many A grade midfielders, and that's why they're sitting up on running premiers. So yeah, look, I think they're going to have a crack at Coniglio by the sounds of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll, I'm pretty sure they'll trade their first round draft pick. I don't think they're going to try and get many kids in again. I think they've got enough there at the moment, so. I'm pretty sure they'll trade that pick, wherever Adelaide finishes, and they'll bolster their stocks, and next year is going to be an exciting year for the Carlton Footy Club. Mm,
yeah, yep, good, very good.
Morning, Hive. How's it going?
Very good. Cold over here, freezing actually. And
it's all right here.
Introduce yourself, Richie.
It's always good over there.
That's good. Nick Newman, he's been one of our best recruits thus far this season, and no doubt he was his best game as a Blueback last Sunday with 24 disposals and a career-high 4 goals. Considering he had limited opportunities down in Sydney, especially his final season, and requesting a trade 10 minutes from the trade deadline last year, but also to go along with it, Sam Doherty doing his second ACL on December 10 last year, how important has he been off half-back with his kicking skills, especially last Sunday at 87% disposal efficiency. But throughout the year, especially when the ball's been going down there constantly throughout the first half of the season, but not quite as much now.
Yeah, well you always look at it, who's kicking the ball in from fullback after a behind's been scored, because they're normally the guy who has got the best composure and best skills at kicking in. So, and he does that week in, week out. So, you know, he's one of the go-to players from that avenue. So, yeah, look, he's a terrific... And the other thing is, he's that little bit older than these kids who are coming through too. So he adds a bit of maturity, I suppose, into our back line as well. And he's been I always thought he was a very good player at the Swans. And I don't think he really did anything wrong there. But it's been a great pickup for the club. And kicking goals, especially from a back man too. That's you're going, plus you know you've got a pretty confident team when backmen are heading down and kicking goals. It's always a good sign.
Good morning, David. Chris here. How are you doing?
Good, Chris.
That's good, mate. One of the key matchups tomorrow will be Wiedering and Jack Riewoldt. The two have had their fair share of battles over the past few years, and Jacob kept Riewoldt to just one goal earlier this year. Does Jacob get the job again, or will he be better suited to the bigger Tom Lynch?
Yeah, no, I think Jonesy will get Lynch. I think he could be a bit strong for Wieders, and Wieders will be able to capitalise a bit with a little bit of height advantage over Riewoldt as well. So our back line has been terrific this year. They really have been very, very good. And even the West Coast forwards last week, they didn't. You know, that was always going to be the danger, whether, you know, Kennedy and Darling had really grabbed us by the scruff of the neck and one of them had kick a bag. But the back line's been fantastic. So, full credit to them. And the other thing is it's been very stable. You know, I mean, we've been able to lose one, you know, Jonesy last week with his passing of his mother. But we've been able to lose one and bring one in without too much disruption. And it's been a pretty solid back line right throughout the year. So... I think that's been one of the important things on why we are going so well.
Yeah,
it's interesting on that with the Eagles from last week, talking about their midfield depth and having those 6 to 8 A graders. Well, you know, they've got something we crave at the moment. They've got about four dynamite small forwards that are whippets that could play on the wing. Guys like Petrocelli, Jared Cameron, who hasn't got a gig this week.
He's been omitted.
And just unlucky, because they got a full strength coming. Yeah. Scary what the Eagles are doing at the moment. So Jared Cameron goes out. You've got Petrocelli. You've got Willie Rioli and Liam Ryan. Yeah. That's just an incredible luxury they've got at the moment. So we lose by four goals. I've started to warm up to Lachie Plowman a lot. He's doing a really good job. And you talk about that consistency of the back line and the players in there. I've warmed up to Lachie now. I really have. And he gives it his all. He's a negator. His disposal efficiency sometimes might be a little bit off, but you've got to look at what he does. I think you're spot on there. The consistency of that back line and the players in there, they're gelling more, they're syncing well, and they're linking up well with the midfielders. So we just got to keep that going. We're a big chance against the Tigs tomorrow. Don't you worry about that.
It's actually good to hear that your cold heart is warming up for a change.
I get stuffed. You just got off the panel for next week.
I was just going to say, you've got to look at the ages of these kids playing on our back line. You know, Marchbank and Plowman and Wiedering and guys like these playing key position back. You know, and that's where it's been so important to have, you know, I mean, Jonesy back there and also Cade Simpson. Obviously Doherty would have been fantastic back there, but just to give that little bit of maturity back there as well. But that's where, you know, you really... I think you start when you're looking at your team and what you've got to do to become a good team. You make sure you've got a good defense first, and then you add to it after that. And you're 100% right about those small small forwards too, because they're invaluable. Richmond have got a heap of them. Collingwood. You look at all the teams up there. West Coast. They've got those quality small forwards who kick goals and. Wouldn't any best be great we won't go down that path, but there is a whisper that Tom Papley's coming back. Tom Papley from the Swans, and he's looking for a club, so we're in the hunt there with him. So look, we're becoming a destination club too, and that hasn't happened for a long, long time. So players are actually wanting, you know, looking at Carlton as a club that's going to be up there in the next few years. So
yeah, look,
good times ahead.
And according to Chris, the Carlton Wikipedia brownie here, Big Fev might be even making a comeback for the team. He had a bit of a slip there earlier, but anyway, we're not letting him forget about it either.
Doesn't quite fit the mould of a small forward, but anyway.
No, that's right. That's right.
He's got as much chance as I have.
Yeah, that's right. No, he's standing next to the pie warmer, doing a good job, the Fev. Look, okay, tomorrow. Where is the game won and lost? Bit of talk. Teague planting a wonderful seed there, Cripper on Martin. But where is it won and lost? What do we have to do, mate, to have a really good crack at this one tomorrow against the Tigs?
Oh, look, Richmond are a good team. They won the flag a couple of years ago. They were red-hot favourites last year and just had a really poor match against Collingwood in the preliminary final, so they didn't even get there to defend their premiership. But they've had a lot of bad luck, especially earlier in the year with injuries and so forth. And the sad thing is they're just starting to come back, the Tigers, and you can sort of see the Richmond supporters getting up and going again, and that's always a bad sign over. I'm starting to hate them more than Collingwood supporters at this stage, but they're getting that cocky. But they are a formidable team at the moment, and they are playing very, very good football. But they'll be playing the best footy of any of probably along with Brisbane, but those two teams, and they were able to win games early this year with their big guns out too, so they've got a lot of depth there. I think they're sitting on top of, I think they're two games clear on the VFL ladder down here, so you know, they've got a lot of depth there and a lot of good players, and when you look at it, I suppose there's a couple of blokes that went out, Dan Butler, you know, I know Carlton's been sort of having a look at him as a small forward as well, so you know, they've got the depth there, a lot of pressure on spot. They're going to be very hard to beat. But if they're off by, you know, 5%, say, we'll get them. We're playing enough football at the moment that if they just take it that little bit easier, or they're just not that right on the day, it's going to be wet, really cold, wintry conditions, which I don't think is going to help them too much with their big key forwards. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
And we're allowed to wear the long sleeves as well, so we'll be nice and warm out there. And, of course,
there's a Silvani there, so I'm sure the long sleeves will be there.
So if it is close in the last quarter, I mean, we're playing some decent footy at the moment as well, and we've strung a few four-quarter performances together, so it's not over, is it, until the fat lady sings. Absolutely.
Hey, the other one I want to pick up on is McGovern. He's back. He's been through a pretty torturous 3-week training period, and you know, it's going to be, you know, he's got the kick up the arse that he probably needed, so it's going to be interesting to see how he comes back over this over the last part of the season and the next few weeks. I think you know, he's got that wake up call, and a lot of times that happens to players and they just excel from there on in, and he's got no excuses not to.
100%. We're all going to be wishing him well and willing him on, that's for sure. We do have to wrap it up there. It's gone a bit longer than normal, but it's been a great conversation today, so we don't mind that, Hoff. Thanks for coming on as always, mate. You bleed blue. We love having you on. The supporters do. And as always, mate, see you next week. Well, we won't see you because we'll hear you next week, and we'll say, yeah. Go Blues.
Exactly. Go the mighty Blues.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, mate. Alrighty, great interview there. Now, I'm just going to do a quick weekly whack. I've got nothing scripted here, but just to some of our supporters, okay? It's a gentle whack because it's our supporters. To do with the coaching scrutiny and everything else, just a lot of us need to just take a chill pill a little bit. There will be a process. The guys are getting on the social media, just doing the thing we hate with the other clubs do so well. And we do it pretty well as well at Carlton. We love to eat each other when things just aren't going well. Take a chill pill, show a bit of respect for each other. What'll be. I don't know who's going to coach us next year, but whoever it is, I bleed blue and I'm going to just get behind them. I did it with Malthouse. I did it with Pagan. I might not have liked it, but if you're a Carlton person, you've got no choice. You just got to bleed blue. You got to hope they make the right decision and you got to get behind them. There's been a lot of stuff going on about the board again and all of this stuff, trying to divide and eat each other. Just let it go. What'll be will be. We're on a good path. We've got a great bunch of kids. Blind Freddie could coach them next year, I reckon, and we'd go all right. So that's not going to happen. They're going to choose the right person. Teague's obviously in the hot seat, and he's got the advantage over everyone by being given the opportunity to perform. So take a chill. Let's see how he goes. Let's see how the year ends. And Teague hashtag 2020.
Yep, we're on it.
Yes.
So we'll leave that at that. The other thing is, guys, a couple of things coming up before we go. We have got the Saints next week at the Empire. Get on down to that one. We won't know until Tuesday. We've got a couple of guests lined up. We're having a family day. We'll have the face painter there. We're doing a joint function with the Saints. I've been in touch with them during the week last week. They're keen as. So they're going to come down and join us and have a big family day with their kids as well. It's going to be a great day. We'll watch a game together with the Saints, Blues versus Saints, and a couple of guest speakers, one former Carlton player, one former Saints player. Not confirmed. We got to wait for late mail on that. But even if it doesn't happen, just get on down. You know how it is down at the Empire supporters, and we all love it. The next event after that, it wasn't scheduled. We're going to do it now because it's the last opportunity we'll get to watch the Blues in 2019. So that is round 23 against Geelong. We're going to do that game down at the Empire. It's the last chance for all of us to get together to watch the Blues and have a great family day. So get on down for that one. And then after that, it'll be the September 7th, the Champions of Carlton Tribute Dinner. Absolute ripper lineup. Kuda, Ange Christou, David Parkin, Sticks, Diesel, and we're not sure about Wayne Johnson. He's got a few health issues at the moment, so we're not sure if he's going to make it or not. But if not, he'll certainly be replaced with someone substantial off the bench. So, and then we got the grand final due. We'll have at the Empire, which the season raffle will be drawn at halftime of the grand final this year. That magnificent custom frame Cade Simpson jumper. So, guys, there's only 60 of those 300 limited tickets left. So get down to the last two games, St Kilda, Geelong, and that's a chance for you to get some tickets there. We've got some more raffle prizes. Great events coming up. Go Blues. Got to go.
Go Blues.
Thanks, guys.